So if you'll take your Bibles this morning and you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And that's what we'll be reading from today. I should have asked about it. That's as far as we've got. All right. Did you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 14, and today we're talking about how to build up one another in the church. Romans chapter 14, and let's start with verse 14. Romans 14, starting with verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of the building of one another. For some reason, the distance between my glasses and the book is just a little bit too short. Okay. Verse 20, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who gives offense, who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything which makes your brother stumble. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Let's just pray together before we go on. Father, we pray this morning that you, through your Holy Spirit, will open our hearts, that you will settle the events that have happened this past week in our minds, and give us the ability to concentrate on your word. And I thank you so much for each person's here. Just bless our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Now before I get started, I would like to make one correction. I would like to use Roman numeral number 1, the verses Romans 14, 1 through 6. There's many other ones we could use for this, but I changed it. My notes, I got 3 changes on here. So this is the 3rd revision here. So verses 1 through 6 of Romans chapter 14 is what I'd like to use on number 1. So we got that and we can go on now. The story is told about a boy and his dad that were sitting in the kitchen talking. And the boy said, Dad, he said, how do wars get started? And the dad said, well, son, he said, take for instance World War I. He said, it started when Germany invaded Belgium. And his mother, who was standing over the sink, or his wife, said, tell the boy the truth. It happened when someone was murdered. And the man straightened up and said, who's telling this story, you or me? Well, she turned around in a huff and walked out and slammed that door. She went out, and after the dishes stopped rattling in the cupboard, there was kind of a lengthy silence, and the little boy says, Dad, you don't have to tell me how wars get started. I know. Brothers and sisters, Because of that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, indwelling presence of the sin nature that we have in our life, that principle that happened, that started back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and that sin nature was passed on to all the descendants down to us today. Because of that indwelling principle of sin, it is very natural, and it's our natural tendency to think of number one, and what needs, what I like and what I want and what pleases me, instead of what is good for the other person and building those up. That's the natural tendency. But some people say, oh, well, that's the church's job to build people on the Lord, right? That's the church's job, is that right? No. It is each one of our jobs. Paul wrote that to believers, and so it's the job of every member in the church to not look on their own personal interests, but those interests of Christ and what's going to build us up in the Christian body. Now, God tells us that there are two different types of people in this world today. One who builds up another person, and the other one who tears down. We say, hey, wait a second, preacher. I'm not building, but I'm sure not tearing down. And what did Jesus say about this in his word? He says, the man who is not for me is against me. I'd like you to think that in the Christian life, there's no middle ground. It's either you're for Christ or you're against him. There's no such thing as just, well, I'm in the middle. I'm not building up, but I'm not tearing down, so I must be okay. It's only two positions, not three. And I'd like you to keep that in mind. But there's two kinds of people in this world. One who builds up. And that, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that is a lot of work. That is a hard thing to do. Because it takes effort, it takes time, and it takes money to build up other people. The other one is, of course, destroying or tearing down. And let me tell you, from personal experience, repeatedly, it takes really no effort at all to tear somebody down. It seems like all I have to do is open my mouth, and naturally it comes out, is not a good thing. So it takes very little effort. Doesn't take any intelligence really at all. You just naturally do that because of the indwelling sin nature. But God has said that we, by the power of the Spirit, have the ability to overcome that, to be new, because we are new creatures in Christ. So we need to trust His ability in order to give us the strength to carry out those tasks that He wants us to do. Jesus said again that He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. So now let's look at your outline here. Example number one is example. God has given us tools that we can use to build up one another in Christ. And the first one is is our example. By our example. Let me read chapter 14, 1 through 6, and listen as I read that. Paul said, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but the one who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced of his own mind, in his own mind. Sorry about that. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. So the first one we'd like to talk about today is our example to other believers and other Christians. Paul said here in these verses we read today that we are supposed to receive one another. We're supposed to build one another up. It's a positive something. I'm supposed to be looking and saying, what can I do to receive and build up one another? So I read something this week. I read several things this week, but I thought it was interesting. And a man one day was working diligently in the living room, and his wife walked in and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I am trying to sew this button onto my shirt." And the wife said, "Well, you should be using your other finger for the thimble, your other finger." No, his wife said, "You got the thimble on the wrong finger." That's what it was. Yes, yeah, just read between the lines, you'll get it. "You got the thimble on the wrong finger." And he said, "Yeah, I know, it should be on yours." But how often do we look at somebody and what they're doing and we criticize them? We sit back and we criticize and say, "What in the world are you doing?" In other words, why don't we just, walk over there, say, "Let me do that for you. Just take that thimble, put it on the right finger, whatever that is, and get the work done." But so often we sit back and we criticize, not willing to do anything at all. So it made me think also of this here, it's football season, we're getting into playoffs and things are going well, but how many times have you seen people sitting on the couch with a hot dog in their hand saying, "That stupid quarterback, why in the world did he throw it to that guy?" Or we'll say, "That coach made a blunder. I mean, he should have not called that fake punt, but he should have just kicked that thing away." And we sit back there and we judge and we criticize, but are we by our examples, my brother and sister? Are we stepping in and saying, "Hey, I'm going to help"? What kind of example are you showing when there's problems and people are doing maybe a bad job? How many times have you heard, "Oh man, this church would be far better if we had a different order of service. I just can't stand the one we have." Or, "Man, if we had a different preacher today, that would really, really be good." Or, "The music would be different. I would just love to see it. And it'd be far better if we did that." Or, "How about the boards? The board, church boards, they've made some decisions that I think are really, really bad. And our church would be far better if we didn't have all these decisions." And how often am I, and possibly you, or maybe those people in another church and not us, right? But how often would be we far better if we said, "Hey, I am going to do something myself. I'm going to step in." And I've told this story before, but there was a church who was having a hard time. Things weren't going well for them, and just things were bad. And so they called a meeting together to see how they could clean up their meeting house and make everything better. And there were different suggestions, and people said, "Well, we could do this, we could do that, we could try something else." And finally, one old man stood up and he said, "I believe the way that we can best clean up our meeting house is for each one of us to grab a broom and start sweeping right where we're standing." Isn't that true? Remember several weeks ago we talked about Gypsy Smith, and he said, "Do you want revival to begin in our church? The best way to start revival is take a piece of chalk, draw a circle on the floor, and kneel down in the midst of that circle and say, 'God, start with me.'" But so often what I want to do is I want to point and say, "Hey, this church would be far better if it wasn't for this person or this decision or that decision." And we sit on the sideline eating our hot dogs and we're complaining. And brothers and sisters, let's by our example make sure that we're building up. You think that the boards aren't doing a good enough job? Well, join one, and help out. You see that there's a spot of, there's a little bit of lint on the floor. That person who vacuumed the floor must have missed that. Well, come in and grab a vacuum yourself and start cleaning. Instead of being a criticizer, be an example of what God wants each one of us to be. That's pretty easy, isn't it? So the first example, Roman numeral 1 is that we need to be an example of what it means to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, The second one on there, I'll just give it off before I forget. The second one on there is that we need to build up one another. And you knew I was going to say this, didn't you? By what we say. By what we say. That's what we're supposed to do. And I've got my examples here that I wanted to read, and I can't find them. Oh, here it is right here. Okay, we're going now really well. John Wesley, he was a man, a preacher of several hundred years ago, and he was really disturbed when people, especially Christians, would cut down other people with their speech. And one day, he was speaking to an audience, and he noticed out there was a lady out there that was known to be a critical, sharp-tongued woman. And he noticed she was watching him very, very closely through the whole sermon. And she came up as soon as the service was done, and she came up to him and says, "Mr. Wesley," she says, "I was offended today." She said, "The tails on your bow tie were too long." And John Wesley was said to have looked around and said, "Any of you ladies around here have a scissors in your purse?" And one of them produced a scissors and handed it to him. He said, "Okay," he said, "here's the scissors. You cut them off at the length you want them to be." So she trimmed them up right under his collar. In those days, the collars weren't as long, but trimmed them right under his collars. And he said to her when she was done, she says, "Now, are you satisfied with that?" She says, "Oh, yes, they are much better now." And then John Wesley says, "Well, you know, I've got something I'd like to say to you also, and don't take any offense, but," he says, "I think your tongue is way too long. Stick it out and let me trim off some of it." But how often have any of us been accused of having a tongue that was too long? I have. And you look in James and he talks about the use of the tongue. And so, my brothers and sisters, let's make sure that by what we are saying and speaking, that we build up one another. Are you? Jesus said in John chapter 13, remember that he sent disciples to prepare the upper room for the Passover, and disciples did that, and then after they'd eaten the meal, I am so sorry. I got ahead of myself in my notes, and so we're just going to have to go back. So let's just try one more. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. If you'll turn with me to that. And this is about the use of the tongue. The Apostle Paul said, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So we want to build up the body. We want to build people up. And brothers and sisters, let's make sure that our speech is good for the building up of people and not the speech for tearing down. Colossians 4, 6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." So brothers and sisters, let's make sure that by our speech, we are building one another up and not tearing each other down. There was once a lady who heard a piece of gossip and she spread it to the wrong person. And pretty soon, all around town, this one woman who had done something was just trashed, just literally trashed. And then the woman who spoke the gospel found out she had the whole story wrong. It was completely untrue. So she was really hurting, and she went to a wise old sage, and she told him the story and said, "What should I do?" And the wise old sage, this is what sage said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go into the marketplace and buy a nice, great, big, fat goose. And I want you to have it killed. And then I want you to walk home. But when you're walking home, I want you to pluck off the feathers one by one lay them down by the edge of the path. And so she did that. She was kind of surprised with his advice, but she did that. And the next day she came back, she says, I've done what you told me to do. What do I need to do now? And he says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to the same path, and I want you to pick out every one of those feathers. And that lady searched all day long and only found two or three feathers is all she could find. And she went back to the old sage, and she says, I've done it, and this is what happened. I only find a few feathers. And the wise old sage says, it is so much easier to throw the feathers into the wind. Just speak with our mouth whatever we think. It's so much better. But when we try to go and make that right, it is so much more difficult. My brothers and sisters, as we speak, let's make sure that our speech will build somebody up and not tear them down. And I need that as much as anybody else, and probably more. I think you can speak too little sometimes, but you can definitely speak too much. And let me tell you about that. The third tool that we have been given, so the first one is by our example, the second one is by our speech, the third one is by our spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, we're told that knowledge puffs up. It makes you feel arrogant and proud because of all you know. And most people who know a lot, most people like to, you know, get this knowledge out, right? But the Bible says love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Let's see. There was a little boy who came home from Sunday school one day, and his lesson that day had been on the Good Samaritan. And so, as was her custom, the mother asked him a few questions after they got home from church. And she questioned him about the details of the story. Man, he had every person right. He had every detail right. And he expounded in great lengths the whole story. And then the mother, the next question is, well, what lesson did we learn from this day? What does Jesus want us to do? And the little boy said, he says, it means that Jesus, that when we are in trouble, others should come and help us. And how often do we get that whole thing wrong? That we are supposed to give help to other people, not for other people to come help me. In 14, verse 12, turn with me to that, or I think Matt will put that up on the board. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, we read, so also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. And then also verse 26 says, what is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all be done for edification. Edification means just to build up. We get our English word edifice, which means a building out of that. But brothers and sisters, when you go back and look at 1 Corinthians 12, we see that everybody, every believer in Christ has been given a spiritual gift, and that spiritual gift is to be used for the building up of the body. And Jesus tells a parable about the people who were given money in those days and were supposed to do business with it. And one went out, he had 10, he made 10 more. And one had one talent, and he buried it, didn't do anything with it all. And he was severely reprimanded because he didn't even put it in the bank for interest to be made. And brothers and sisters, if God was to call me into account today, or maybe one of you, could you say, God, you have given me this spiritual gift, and this is what I have done with that spiritual gift? Or are we just sitting and doing nothing with it? And so God has given each one of us spiritual gifts that we are supposed to use for His honor and for His glory. So not just the place where, well, you know, the moral of the story is, I need to have people help me. I need to have people serve me instead of saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to do something myself to build up. As we see in Philippians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? And the example that we're supposed to have is that of Jesus. He says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Christ was God himself, and yet he chose to empty himself of that God who had come to be born and grew up as a man. And then he took on himself a form of a bondservant and was made obedient even to the point of death. And brothers and sisters, that is our example, that we're supposed to follow God in our what we do and our love for one another. We're supposed to build up one another because of what Christ has done for us. So number one is our example. Two is our speech. Three is our spiritual gifts. Number four is the love of Christ. And that's what we're supposed to share with one another. And yes, when you do, when you're sharing with other people, you are going to be emptying yourself. It's going to cost you time, money, whatever. It might even cost you your reputation. But God says, I want you to, by your love, I want you to serve other people. And we know that God showed his love for us in what Christ has done. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And so that's the love and the example that we're supposed to follow. Number five. Did I say number four is love? Okay. You are a better audience than I am a giver-adder, I feel like, today. The next one is we are supposed to build up other people by our prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Let's read that. Where the Apostle Paul said, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So as we are praying, then God is also building up people in their Christian walk. And we are the ones that are responsible to pray, to be intercessors. In the Old Testament, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against you by not praying for you. And so I know I have definitely sinned against people because I have not prayed for them. And we need to take this to heart, that it is a sin against God if we do not pray for our brothers and sisters. And by our prayers, we can be built, be building up in their lives. But I think also that not only does prayer build up those people we're praying for, but I think it also builds each one of us up. Do you remember Job in the Old Testament? And his three friends came and gave him terrible advice. You know, you are sinning. You are not following God. You're not trusting him. It's because you haven't helped people. And they gave him all the reasons why he was sick. And then in the end, God talked to these guys. And he said, hey, you go to Job and let him pray for you. And in Job 42:10, do I have that one down in your list, Matt? Job 42:10? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. It said that God lifted up the face of Job. And when did God lift up the face of Job? When he prayed for his friends. I have seen an example of this. I knew a person one time who was extremely bitter because somebody had really severely and actually wronged them. And the preacher of the church told him, he said, hey, you need to pray for that person. And the person was praying for him, and they said the prayer was very wooden. It was just going through the actions, but they said as time went on, they began to have a heart and a compassion for that person, and then God allowed that person to come to them and say, I was wrong, and would you forgive me for what I have done to you? And so I'm sure that some of you have seen that too. You don't like somebody, you're angry for them, and they don't deserve my prayers because of what they have done. But you find, as God has challenged you to start praying for that person, that God will do a work not only in their life, but God will do a work in your life. And if you're struggling with anger or bitterness or malice towards something because of a rightful wrong, I mean, it's a true wrong. It's not something that's just observed, but it's really wrong. God will send healing to your heart as you obey Him and pray for that person. And that is a biblical principle. And the verse that I have here is Job. But Job lifted up the face, God lifted up the face of Job when Job actually prayed for his tormentors, if you want to use that way. So it's amazing how God can work as you obey Him to be an intercessor and a prayer warrior. And God will build up people, and God will build up you as you do that. Back in World War II, in the United Kingdom, there was a special group of fighter pilots. Yeah, fighter. I thought, is that pilot fighters or fighter? Forget about it. The more I talk, the more I get my tang all tumbled with my words, you know. So anyway, there was a squadron of fighter pilots, thank you, that were called the Scramble Squadron. And these were specially trained pilots who at an instant notice could be given a command, say, hey, the Germans are coming. They would be in their planes, and within minutes, they'd be in the air intercepting those enemy fighters up there. They called them the Scramble Squadron, because they could get up there so quick and intercept the German Luftwaffe, L-U-T-F-W-A-F-F-E. And I'm not a German, but that's the way I kind of pronounce it. But at a moment's notice, they could be up there fighting against the enemy. And I wonder why sometimes, as if God's work is not done, because people are not willing to get up there and be the scramble pilots to intercept when the enemy comes. And we are in a battle, brothers and sisters. We are in Ephesians chapter 6, and I don't have this one down for your map, but in Ephesians chapter 6 it says our flesh, our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our battle. It's not a flesh and blood battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And these people who are struggling in these areas that we need to pray for, brothers and sisters, it says we need to pray because maybe they've been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. And we are the ones that, through prayer, will be able to release that power that's binding it so that they will be able to follow Christ. So it's a challenge that each one of us accept what God has asked us to do is to pray for other people. And it's so easy for me to pop off with my mouth when I should really pop down on my knees and start praying. First of all, that God will forgive me, but that God will deal with this enemy invasion in the lives of other people. So we have the tools that God has given us to our example, our speech, our spiritual gifts, our love, our prayers, and the sixth one is God's Word. God has given us His Word. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we read, said, I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So the sixth tool that God has given us in order to build up, to use to build up people, is God's word. There was a man who went on a business trip to France, and when he came home, he bought some souvenirs to give to his wife. And one of them was a matchbox. And the matchbox, he said, this is really a special one, because when you turn out the lights, the matchbox glows, so you'll be able to find it. So he went over there and he switched off all the lights and nothing happened. She said, this must be a fake. And the guy said, I have been cheated, I've been duped, because this matchbox is not glowing. And then the wife noticed there was a small print. There were some words written in French. Of course, she didn't know French. But if you watch a TV movie, they would know French who found it, right? They always seem to do that. But anyway, she didn't know French, so she took it to a friend, and the friend read it, and it says, if you want me to shine at night, keep me out in the sunlight of day. So she took that little box, and she put it in a south-facing window, and that night, she said to her husband, watch this now. And she flipped off a light, and that matchbox just glowed so brightly. And the husband said, wow! How did you do that? And she said, I read the instructions, is what she said. But she said the same thing that the neighbor had read. If you want me to glow at night, keep me in the sunlight during the day. And brothers and sisters, if you and I want to be a builder in the lives of other people, then we need to make sure that we are in the sunlight itself. We need to make sure that we spend time with our Savior. We need to make sure that we are taking in His Word, that we are praying and asking God to work in our life. And brothers and sisters, you will find, and you know this to be true, that the more time you spend with your Lord and Savior, the more you will shine in the darkness of night. And we are in a dark world, aren't we? We really are. The more the lights go out, brothers and sisters, the more it will be proof of whether you have the sunlight shining out through you. The light shines in the darkness, and may each one of us be that type of a person because we've spent time in God's Word. It's no use trying to shine for Christ if you haven't taken time to fill up your lamp. You will only be able to give out what you have already taken in. Why was David able to fight and kill the giant? We're not told at all that he spent time before the giant. Oh, God, you got to help me. I'm over my head in this one. David was able to face that giant because he had spent time in the fields taking care of those sheep, where God had trained him how to fight. God had trained him that God is all-powerful, and David could trust him at any time. And David, when called up there, was able to fight the giant. And brothers and sisters, I have found this to be true in my life, that trials do not give a notice saying, I am coming at 10 o'clock this morning. Or they don't say that at all, but they all of a sudden just pop up and right there. And why does my mouth pop off things at once? Because I have not spent the time in the fields with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, learning to know who He is, and learning His Word, and learning how to fight. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be able to fight when the trial comes, then you need to have already spent time with your Lord and Savior, and that, with His strength, you will know how to go out and fight, and He will give you the victory in that. So you can't give out what you don't have. You can't live what you haven't already put into it. So my brothers and sisters, make sure you stay in the sunlight so you will have that oil in your lamp that will be able to burn when somebody needs a hand. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? You do? So, we've had the six tools that God has given us. We've got the example that we're supposed to have, where our speech, what we're supposed to speak, or God speak. We have spiritual gifts. We have God's love flowing through us to other people. We have prayer, and we also have the Word of God. And those are six tools that you can use to build up one another. So in closing, let me ask you a question again, and you don't have to answer, don't raise your hands. But are you, if God came walking into our midst and was standing here, and he asked you, Gary, says, are you a builder or destroyer? What would you say? He says, how have you been in your example? How have you been with your speech? How have you been with your spiritual gifts and your love and your prayer and using my word? And I think I know that I would say, God, I have failed you a lot. The Lord, help me be better. So ask yourself the question, are you a destroyer? Are you using little intelligence and tearing people down? Or are you by the grace that God gives? And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's only by his grace. It is only, we have no strength in our own. Even as believers, we have no strength in our own. But we do have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. And we do have the Godhead, if you read in different places, is living in us. And through him, we have the strength to do that. My brothers and sisters, get to know your God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, said the Apostle Paul. Get to know your God. And then as the opportunity comes up, God will give you the strength to be a builder, which will bring tremendous honor and glory to him. So Christians who care will build up one another. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you that you continually work in us through the Holy Spirit to make us more and more into the image of Christ. And I pray for myself this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will help me to be a builder and not a destroyer and tear down. And I just pray, Father, for each person here, that as we go through life, that we will be in the light of God, in the light of his word. And I just pray that we will be builders. And I just pray that we will honor and glorify you by that. Lord, I don't know how to pray it other than that. Just by your Spirit, work this in our lives. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. If you didn't get all